you want snow mosquitoes? This is how we get snow mosquitoes.
Greetings, Afropossy. And buckle up for this sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa.
And Jenna.
And that's it.
That's what you get tonight, kids. It's going to be one of those.
It's going to be a weird one.
No, we'll have nobody else to blame for our long meandering stories and going over time.
I'm going to be rumbling at you like this. James isn't going to be interrupting me. Jenna's still going to be Jenna.
I mean, you're still going to interrupt me.
I'll still interrupt you. I mean, we got to have some consistency on this thing.
Well, sure. There's that. Speaking of consistency, what are you drinking, Salsa?
Do you want me
to talk about mine first, and then we can just go into all of your stuff?
Yeah, let's just... Because what I'm drinking ties into my whole
ties
story.
Ties into your whole
yep.
One act play.
Indeed.
Okay. I'm drinking Angry Orchard Hard Cider. I'm drinking Sinful.
Mm.
It's C-I-N-N-F-U-L. Why isn't it F-U-L-L? I'm very sad about that. I'm going to cry. Anyway, it's delicious. It tastes like cinnamon and apple cider, which is just good.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite like an apple pie. It's not sweet. It's got a little bit of the tartness behind it. And normally, I'm not a super tart person, but it's just enough tart. No, I am a tart. That's different.
Yeah.
But,
all right. I'm glad we clarified that.
Just enough in there to be distinctive without being overwhelming.
Gotcha.
So, that's what I'm drinking.
Cool. So, I'm going to launch into my story, and then I'll get to what I'm drinking.
Yeah, so I'll ignore you for the next half an hour or so.
Pretty much.
All right.
I was in Nebraska at a Renaissance Festival. Ugh. I was there last weekend as well, but I was there this week, too. It was...
I used to be in Nebraska.
Exactly. And then I got the fuck out of there. No, I was my second weekend doing the Nebraska Festival. And in all honesty, as much as I have to drive through Iowa to get there, I do enjoy their Nebraska Festival. It's a beautiful festival. It's the person who runs it's a super great guy. And the site is gorgeous. And the people are really receptive and generous and wonderful. Absolutely.
They're just excited of things going on.
I genuinely like that festival.
Okay.
So, go second weekend in a row for that one. I drove down there last week, set up my camper, did my festival, came back, drove down there on Friday, and it is about 5 miles before I get there. I've been on the road for 5.5 hours, almost 6 hours at this point.
300 miles to Chicago.
Oh shit! Where are the keys to the camper?
Oh no!
And the answer, as you have already surmised,
oh no,
is not with me.
Oh god, no! Did you bring any of your kids to climb in through a window or something? That's how I always handled the situation.
No, it's a soft side pop up camper. It's easy to break into. That is not the problem.
Okay.
The problem is the doors on the side that are like the little cubby doors where you stash stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have the keys to those.
And that's where you have all of your performance equipment.
Well, not it's not where I have the performance. It's where I've got all of the stuff for the camper. So when I get ready to take it home on Sunday.
Oh, like a hitch thing and a
the hitch
doodad.
Things, the blocks, the cranks, all of that stuff is in there. And the other thing is the ball hitch mechanism is also locked. So there's a lock on there so it can't be stolen.
Okay.
Because it's basically locked in the open position.
All
so
right,
nobody can come along and just connect
what it is.
their truck to my trailer and drive away with it. So it's locked in the open position.
Okay.
And I don't have that key.
Oh, shit.
Exactly.
You're going to need a lot of duct tape, Salsa.
I MacGyvered the shit out of that, is what I did. So, spent the weekend going, how the fuck am I going to deal with this? And basically what I... So, the side compartments you can access from the inside.
Okay.
The problem is when you're done collapsing the whole thing down and packed up, you can't access the inside. The only way you can get in is from that.
Where do you put them?
So the crank that raises and lowers the top, I can't put in there. The blocks, I can't put in there. Which is, none of this is a problem because I can just put those in the car.
Right.
But the problem is it is locked in the open position right now.
Okay.
Because I opened it when I got there and took everything out and I didn't close it. You know, it hung closed, but it wasn't locked closed.
Okay.
Which is fine when it's sitting there, but when I'm going down the highway, it's going to be flapping around.
Sure.
So what I did...
Twisty tie?
So what I eventually did is I crawled into the inside, and using the key to my car, I unscrewed the mechanism on the inside, turned it 90 degrees, and screwed it back in.
Oh my God.
So the lock for that side door is right now 90 degrees out of position and basically screwed into position.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Which, that was the lesser of the problems. The more is the ball hitch.
Right. Duct tape, man. Duct tape. Yeah.
What I eventually ended up doing is I bought another lock. Wait for it.
Okay.
What it is it's a levering. It's a lever that levers down and that raises the locking mechanism on the inside.
Okay.
So what I did is instead of using the levering of that to pull that up, I pulled the whole mechanism up and I wedged the new lock between the levering mechanism and the hitch and locked that into place.
Oh my God. And then duct tape?
And then there was still a little bit of wiggle.
Right.
And there is a symbol.
Zip ties.
No, there is a symbol in the circus of basically this, like, it is in circus positions, it's the R key.
Okay.
You know the little pin that locks things into place that's shaped like an R?
Kind of. Okay. Yes.
It's this guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got one of these on my keychain.
For me, it's like a bobby pin.
Yeah, it's like a giant bobby pin, but it's the key that it's flat on one side and wavy on the other side. But this pin I keep on my keychain just because it is a symbol of the circus and it's kind of just a thing that I have on me all the time.
Right.
And I needed just that much more, like, leverage on it. And so I clamped this around the lock, like, around the posts of the lock to give it just a... It was really MacGyvered together.
Oh, my God. That and hope.
Yep. And it was slightly loose, but it was enough that it wouldn't pop off on the highway.
Oh my God.
And I got home and it worked, and I got home and I walked in and I was like, keys right here. Here are the keys. But anyway, no, this weekend, again, Nebraska, this weekend, Baratok Belly Dancers were there.
Oh, nice.
They had a contract.
I know those people.
They know, right? They had a contract to perform out there. Danielle has been messaging me for the past couple months asking questions because she knew I did this festival and they had never done it. So she was asking me about the place and the stage and various things.
She's so good. She's good. Wonderful.
I love her. So, you know, they finally get out there and I was like, hey, welcome to the festival. This is a place that I love and now you can share it with me too. And they loved it absolutely as well.
Awesome.
You know, just the sight and the everything. And but, you know, I did my performances. The first weekend I was out there with that fire troupe. But the second weekend I was sharing the stage with another variety performer.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, she.
You got your freak show on?
Yeah, she's out of Kansas City. The amazing Martika.
Okay.
Look her up. Check her out.
Is she in fact fantastic. Amazing?
She's absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
She does all that weird shit. She does the sword swallowing, the fire eating, glass walking, hand in a bear trap.
fuck your mouse traps.
Yeah, barbed wire hula hoop. Like, you know, we nerded out a lot. It was delightful. She was she was a fantastic performer, and you know, was clearly somebody who had a lot of polish on our show and had been doing this for a while. So you know, it was fun seeing the different approaches we had to a lot of the same things and stuff like that. But fantastic! I would absolutely share a stage with her
again.
Did
she randomly send pictures of herself swallowing swords to her friends when she started out?
I hope so. But anyway, so I'm down there, and I think I mentioned it last week, but a friend of mine from high school, my best friend from high school, that I haven't seen in 20 years, lives in Omaha now. And
if you didn't mention it on the podcast, you mentioned it to
okay,
me.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I thought I'd mentioned it on the podcast, but I don't think so. I don't listen to these things.
I don't know.
But anyway, it didn't work out last weekend. It definitely worked out this week. He brought his family out to the festival. His family got to see my show and see the other festival. And then they brought the kids home and dropped them off. And we went out to dinner, you know, afterwards. Nice. We went to this Mexican restaurant. It was fantastic. The food was delicious. And then he took me to a brewery/distillery.
Brewery/distillery.
Yes, and therein lies a tale.
Oh, good.
So, they wanted to own, the people who own it wanted to open a distillery.
Okay.
But they couldn't, because the laws at the time did not allow them. So they were like, well, we can't open a distillery, let's open a brewery.
All right.
And so they did. And so they opened a Lucky Bucket Brewing Company.
All right.
And that is where I get to what I'm drinking, by the way. I am drinking from Lucky Bucket. I am drinking the Van Dam.
Oh.
Belgian Triple. It's very good.
Is it full of Van and or Dam?
The fun thing about it is apparently everybody who drinks it tastes something different.
Really?
There are some people, because are you kind of familiar with the Belgian taste?
Not really.
Okay.
Like, I if I taste a beer, I can taste the other things besides the hops. But I don't really have it locked. I know an IPA is like the bane of my existence, and I can occasionally do a stout, and that's basically what I know about beer.
All right. I wasn't sure if you kind of had an awareness of what Belgians usually have, kind of a slightly sour, almost banana-y like flavor to it. They're very distinct. They're very distinct. Okay. But half of the people who try this Belgian get a banana taste.
Okay.
And half of the people who try it say it's a bubblegum taste.
Really? Have they tested this on people who do and don't like cilantro?
That's a fantastic question, actually.
That's where my science
apparently
brain goes.
This is like the blue or silver dress of their beer world, because some people are like, this is absolutely banana, and some people are like, no, this is bubblegum, 100%. Huh. And exactly. I tasted banana, but I also expected to taste banana.
Okay.
Because Belgians often have, like I said, that banana, the banana-y hops.
Sure.
And so I was expecting that, and maybe that colored what I'm tasting, because I'm getting a banana on it, but
I really want to make a colorblindness joke, but I can't figure out the angle on it, so.
And somebody is screaming it
somebody listening, the radio please, right now. Please share that with us.
But it is quite delicious, and it's also a triple, and so it's powerful. And it's very, very good, and I like it.
It's good.
So I brought home a growler of it.
Excellent.
So anyway, they opened this brewery.
Yes, with
and then the laws changed.
Okay.
And they could open a distillery, and they were like, finally, we can open a distillery. However, apparently you can't have a brewery and a distillery.
What?
So they opened a distillery as a distinct, separate entity which is in the exact same building, but there is a chain link fence running down the center of the building.
Oh my God. I feel like I've heard of this, or maybe you mentioned something about hearing about that. I don't know. But like, that I had chain link fence in my brain. Yeah. So
you walk in, so there it has separate entrances.
Well, of course.
For the two. You've got
obviously.
So you've got Lucky Bucket Brewing, and then you've got something spike. Like Iron Spike or something like that.
But okay.
Anyway, I'll remember what it is in a little bit, or not. But anyway, they each have separate entrances. There's one for the distillery and one for the brewery, but you walk in the separate entrances and you're in the same
room
space. You're in the same room. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And there is a bar at the center, and you can go to the bar and do whatever you want. But then behind the bar is fucking chain link fence that separates the brewery side from the distillery side. And it's ridiculous. But they have to do this, apparently, for legal purposes. And you can order both at the bar, and you can even pay for both on the same check. But that then gets split between the two legal entities.
Oh my God. That is insane.
It's so silly. Alcohol laws are dumb. They're so dumb.
Why did they say distilleries have to be in a different...
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out.
All of this is hearsay.
What purpose
all
would
of this
say?
Is hearsay from my friend. This is what my friend told me.
Okay.
So if he's wrong, then I have wrong information, and I apologize to anybody who's listening right now who's going, oh, it's not correct. This is the information I have. Right. This is what I was told.
But I'm just so curious why you wouldn't be allowed to, you know what I mean?
I don't know. But yeah, so there's a distillery and a brewery, and it's in the same building, but they're two different. Whatever.
All right.
But also, they only do vodka and whiskey.
Well, those and are the, vodka, the two I like the most, yeah, so
and
I'm
the
in.
Vodka is super smooth.
Oh, really?
Just like it's like warm and round in your mouth.
Like,
very
an alcoholic water almost?
Yeah, it's not that like cutting spike. It's just that warm, round flavor. And the they've got a lot of different flavored, infused whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
And their honey whiskey. It's divine.
I do like a good honey whiskey.
I had a double of the honey whiskey.
You did.
Because my throat was doing what it's doing now. And I was like, no, this is exactly what I want.
Nice.
And then I was like, I am bringing home a bottle of this. And I grabbed the honey whiskey off of the shelf and brought it to the counter. And I was like, I would like to buy this. And they were like, that bottle is $70. And I went, I am putting this back on the shelf. Thank you very much. I appreciate what you're doing. It is worth $70, but I cannot pay that.
Right.
So anyway, that is what I'm drinking, and I find myself in Omaha with my friend, who I haven't seen since high school, at a distillery, having a grand old time, having a couple drinks, you know, just as friends will do. And then he got a text from a friend of his saying, hey, we're having some beer in my garage. You want to come over? And he was like, what do you think? And I was like, fuck, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
So that is how I found myself in some random guy's garage in Omaha drinking beer.
I feel like most people that visit Omaha eventually find themselves in some random guy's garage drinking beer. Like, that just feels like right.
Yeah.
Really.
So, yeah, no, that is the and I met some really interesting people.
Oh.
Some fantastic. Heard some hilarious stories.
I was going to. Minnesota interesting? Or like.
No, like legitimately. Like
legitimately.
These were fun people. I got along really well with them.
All right.
You know, I dove right in and insulted them to their face, and they laughed and said, I like you. So, you know.
Excellent. Well done.
Know, my people. Yes. But got to hear their crazy stories. Apparently, I found out. Apparently, Omaha has a thriving swinger scene.
Oh, really?
That's what I understand. And I also, again, nothing wrong with that.
I would not have made the assumption.
But apparently that's a thing. And I got to hear one of their rather awkward invitation to the swinger scene.
God. All right.
No names, no dates, none of that. But the long and the short of it is he was at a party with a friend, and, you know, end of the night, people went home, and his friend was like, would you like to spend the night? You know, because, you know, if you've been drinking and you don't want to go to home, you know, you're more than welcome to spend the night. If you would, you'll be staying in this room. And he opened a bedroom door and walked away. And inside the bedroom was his wife on the bed, on her hands and knees, presenting.
Oh, my God.
It was just like, oh, again, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But have that conversation first.
A little blindsided,
Yeah, he was a bit shell-shocked. So he walks into the room.
Oh, God.
Sits down at the edge of the bed. Pats her butt and says, thank you for a good night. And he leaves. Thanks for having me over. It was a fun party. Pat. Fuck off.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's lovely.
Because he was just like, I didn't know what to do.
Huh?
I was, My wife was not here. That is not a conversation that had happened previously. Mm-hmm. I was blindsided, and that is, in that moment, that is what my brain said to do. And so that's what I did.
Fantastic. I think that's great.
Oh, yeah, no, it's delightful. I'm just like...
If I had a nickel for every time that happened to me, I tell you what.
Here's a penny.
you get a penny change.
What I'm saying is, if you're into the swinger scene... Awesome. Have an honest, open, adult conversation before you do something like this.
Before that happens. Yeah.
That is the proper way to do this.
Mm. Well handled, though.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But but he was, like, super, like, self-conscious about it. And my friend was like, no, he's going to be, like, worrying about this for the next month. Because that's just, like, his personality type. He's like, did I do something? And I'm just like, right now, you know, we're having this conversation, we're laughing and we're joking, but right now, at this moment, that couple is hanging out with another group of people, and one of them is going, and then he patted my butt and said goodnight.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic time, and I got back to the camper at about 1 o'clock, and I woke up with a hangover.
Ooh.
And I did all of my shows on Sunday with a headache.
Oh, honey.
And I regret none of it.
That's fair.
No regrets. But my God, did my head hurt. I was just drinking water. And napping between shows all day. It was just like, oh, why did I do this?
Because it was glorious, Salsa. That's why you did it.
And I had invited the Baratok ladies also along with, because it was like, yeah, we're going to this distillery. It would be fun to hang out. And to dinner as well. And we got to dinner and they were not ready. And we get to the distillery and I'm messaging them and they're just like, yeah, we still haven't eaten yet. We're still at the site. They haven't even gotten to their hotel to change yet.
Sure.
They're just like, we're watching the peacocks. Apparently one of the peacocks had gotten on my stage and was just like
strutting around.
Just doing the whole fanned out strutting around thing, and they were just mesmerized and watching it.
That's
so
awesome.
So they like I talked to them the next day and they were like, yeah, we went to Applebee's and then went to bed. Just like, that's fine.
That's great.
That is completely
Let me tell
okay.
you about my night.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just like, But they were like, oh, yeah, sorry we didn't come out with you guys. And it was just like, that's fine. You don't...
Yeah.
You're adults. You're allowed to make choices. You don't have to follow me. But...
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it was an interesting night. And then I drove home. And...
And nothing fell apart or fell off or...
Not that I could find.
Oh.
And then I got better internet today.
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, apparently Xfinity called my or texted my wife and said, "Oh, based on what we're seeing, your internet could be better. Can we send a tech out?" To which the obvious answer is
yes.
Okay, who are you really?
Yeah.
No, but apparently it was from the number that Xfinity always like
sends their outages updates. And their billing exactly. things and
so,
everything.
So my
else.
Wife all was right. like, "All right, I mean, I'm going to be home," and they're just like, "Okay, cool." So, you know, they pulled up and they were in an Xfinity van. So I was like, "Looks so, everything looks legit so far," but the guy. He comes up and he's like, "You know, we're going to just check in the back, you know, just to see the situation." And he comes back a couple minutes later and he's like, "Okay, so the squirrels have chewed a chunk of your cable, about a 2-foot chunk of your cable down Jesus. To the wire."
2 feet so, is the impressive thing
yeah,
to
no,
me.
They just apparently like, just destroyed a huge chunk of that cable insulation. And so he was like, "So I'm going to be replacing it anyway. But I also noticed that where it connects to your house is not grounded."
Oh, good.
At all. So
that doesn't sound
do
like danger on
too.
Top of danger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, if the power lines get struck by lightning, now my house won't burn down.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, lovely.
And so
if your house catches on fire from the exposed cable.
It's from the fucking squirrels.
Fucking lights a squirrel on fire. Squirrel lights your house on fire. Yeah, okay.
Fuck. So yeah, he ran all brand new cables up to the house, and he grounded them properly. And where he wired them is directly under where the power cable comes in.
Okay.
Because then it's grounded to that same stack.
Sure.
And where it was coming in was the back corner behind the garage, just way back in the corner of my
way
house.
Way far off in the middle of nowhere on this house.
With like a cement wall on one side right. and everything like that. So he's like, "Hey, while I'm routing this cable over to this different place in your house, I could either run cables under your eaves and over back to the corner of your house where your internet is now, or I could just put the cable connection over here, like
okay.
in the middle of the house."
Or so not on the far side where it doesn't do you much good, but like...
But over on this end where everything is.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, right, again, it's behind the garage, and that's the den is over there.
Right.
And so now it's in our dining room, which is right next to the living room, which is where our big TV is.
Right.
Directly above my office.
Okay.
And directly below our bedroom, which is where 90% of our internet usage happens. So suddenly...
Did you run an internet test before and after?
I should have, but I can already tell you. I can already tell you I'm connected to the regular router instead of the extender right now on the 5G as opposed to the 2.5.
So nice.
I'm already doing way better here. Yeah.
You're going to be so much more productive.
I'm so much happier.
You're going to be able to play games so much better.
Oh my God. I don't play online games, but I will be able to have Zoom meetings with my coworkers and not lag out.
Oh, that sounds nice.
You know, because I've definitely noticed that I am a second or two behind everybody else.
Yeah.
When I'm having my one-on-one with my boss, we are definitely not synced
up. So what you're saying is if we record online...
I'm not making any promises. We'll find out, but I make no promises.
I mean, it would be nice if you didn't, like, drop every half an hour or so on online recordings.
We'll see.
You do that on purpose, don't you? Fuck.
You figured me out. distraction. What did you do?
Let's see. Well, I had a show. Last Thursday, I did the Good Grief storytelling show.
Yes. How did that go?
The yearly grieving show. Last year, I did a story about Bill.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I did a story about my abusive mom. I'm pretty sure the regulars for this show are like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell happened to this poor girl?
Like, I was just telling a story about my puppy that I miss, and then she comes on stage and fucking trauma dumps everywhere.
Oh, no. We learned real quick. I'm the person that follows the Holocaust story.
Oh, shit.
Because there is nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
But more, right. And then they
just further
followed
down
me,
the spiral.
They followed me with somebody grieving the loss of their parent, but like for real.
Oh.
Because like my whole story was, I didn't grieve.
Because fuck that gal.
I was like, I just, it wasn't even a fucker kind of thing. It was like, I hadn't talked to her for 8 years, and I had dealt with a lot of stuff in therapy, and I was just, it affected me none at all, except for every once in a while somebody would call me trying to buy a house that I didn't own. That was basically what happened. So, I did talk about that. I was like, fuck this bullshit. So I did that story. Crowd was very appreciative. People thanked me for my story. Bruce was like, so how are you going to top this next year? I'm like, I'll find a way. Don't worry about it. It'll happen one way or the other. I got plenty of grief left to talk about. And he's like, that's not a bragging point, Jenna. That's not a thing you should really just have in your back pocket. And I'm like, well, but I've lived kind of an intense life. So you're welcome, I guess. You'll always have a grief storyteller. I don't know where to go with that one. Like,
Good God.
So I did that story.
I mean, some people have reputations to uphold, but Jesus, Jenna.
just my life.
Yeah.
And I sometimes refer to it as being on a different timeline. Like, I have a different timeline than everybody else on this planet. Like, and God, I hope so, because I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But, but then, after that horribleness, the next day I went up north. I stole your wife.
Yep.
And your sister brother-in-law's.
Yep.
And we all went up to our Duluth cabin.
Yep.
As Joe said, because you were the one that came along with us last time and Raiderly had to stay behind.
Yep.
This time Raiderly came with us and you were fucking off in Nebraska, and Joe was like, oh, so we upgraded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. That's...
Yeah. Meanwhile, here I am in Nebraska, and between shows, I go and check my phone, and I've got pictures of the North Shore, and I'm just like, motherfucker.
We all got to the cabin roughly the same time. Joe and I stopped at Toby's on the way up, had some food. Joe got some pastries.
Yeah.
It's like, I need that cinnamon bun.
Yeah.
I need that cinnamon. He got a few pastries and he's like, then we'll have something to share. He ended up bringing some pastries home because it's just so rich. Everybody was like,
yeah.
Oh, buddy.
No, between Toby's pastries and Betty's pies.
Oh,
they're so good.
I still haven't gotten Joe to Betty's pies yet.
Oh, have you not?
I know. I think next time I want to. Well, I want to sneak him in nature. My boyfriend.
need to put nature inside a little bit of peanut butter as you feed it.
Basically. The thing is that Joe also has a lot of allergies.
Yeah.
Right? And he and I, at the changing of the seasons, are always just like, oh God,
yeah,
who has Benadryl? Who's got this? Who's got you? Like,
I think I'm coming out the back end of it right now.
Mm. Well, you're also exposed to an entirely different environment.
True, but I mean, just like even today, like I've been in and out of the house all day today, yeah. And I just haven't been affected. So I think I think I'm coming out.
I've been doing better the past couple of days too. But yeah, so because of his very hefty allergies, it's so bad. Sometimes it'll affect his skin. He's got like prescription stuff for when that happens. Like, he's got good reason to afraid of nature. But I still want to sneak him into a little bit of nature. Yeah. So at some point, possibly next trip, if we get both you and Raider Lee, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about trying to hit up Gooseberry Falls.
Mm, yeah.
So if we head up the North Shore that way, we can grab Betty's Pies. Yep. We can hit up some of those things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't go any further north than the cabin this year. We ended up Friday night. We did Joe did grilling.
Excellent.
There were CSA sausages that were brought up, and hamburgers procured, and mm-hmm. there was just grilling and chilling. We did not do an outdoor fire this year because the entire weekend the wind was atrocious.
Oh no.
It was the calmest the wind got was about 12 miles an hour.
Oof, that would have been terrible for fire eating.
Well, that's also why we didn't light a fire outside.
Sure, yeah.
It was at least one point I looked, it was 22 miles an hour.
Wow.
And like, it wasn't super cold. Like, it was 50s,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, it's fine. But that wind just brought everything down, especially because it comes off the lake, which is still trying to warm up from its cold, cold winter slumber.
Yep. like a slumbering giant.
Yes. A superior slumbering giant.
Oh, God. That's very poetic, especially since Gordon Lightfoot just died.
So anyway, so we didn't have an outdoor fire, but we did have indoor fires both nights.
Yeah, that cabin. Were you in the same cabin? Yeah,
same cabin.
That has a nice fireplace on the inside.
It's got a lovely fireplace. It's such a good size
cabin. It's a fantastic cabin. It really is.
For the number of people that we're hanging with.
Yeah, I really, really hope that we can all get up there next year.
Same.
Just don't schedule it during a festival.
Well, if you wouldn't hit so many of them.
I know, I'm the
problem. Like, seriously. I'm not going to say that.
Stop being so supremely successful. That's the word I'm looking for. Stop being so successful.
I wasn't going to go that far. But.
Okay. Stop being so performance slutty.
Sure. Okay. I'll go with that one. I'll go with that one. I'm comfortable with that one. I mean, I'm not comfortable with that one, but, like, it feels more accurate. So, Friday night was kind of chill, hanging out. And then Saturday. So one of the things I've wanted to do with Joe is get him to see a North Shore flea market.
Mm.
Every antiques place, every flea market is different to the region that it's in.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And we've done antiquing.
Mm-hmm.
In Duluth, you were there. You got a hat. It was great.
It was a fantastic hat.
It was a fantastic hat. But it's not quite the same as a flea market, mm-hmm. especially a North Shore flea market, because you will get a lot more random railroad and boat crap.
Yep.
And just like old shit that you're like, what the hell even is that? And that's what I wanted Joe to see. So we're like, well, there's the Rose Market a little further up. I think just the north side of Two Harbors, maybe.
Somewhere
around
there.
Yeah, but it's the big one that just has tables upon tables of stuff. And then there's a barn, maybe, giant ass building. Maybe it's a little more industrial. I can't remember for sure, but that's just
never been
all the way through. Well,
gone past it. Never been.
Ah. It is, that is hours of losing yourself to,
I believe,
holy
it.
Shit.
But we're never there unless we're going somewhere. Past. So
the original idea was really to hit that up.
Schedule that in.
Yeah, the original idea was to hit that up, but it was super windy, and I was like, oh, God damn it. Oh, it's chilly, we're going to get cranky. Joe's going to need a nap. a snack and a nap.
Just put him in the back seat in the car and drive around a little bit until he falls asleep.
Actually, he talks about how that is how he would how they would get him to sleep when he was a baby. So yeah,
yes, when he was a baby. Sure.
I mean, you know. Hey Joe, want to go for a car ride? Go for a car ride. Take a little nappy nap. Anyway,
we'll put you in the back seat with some goldfish crackers and drive around until you fall asleep.
Love that? Are you kidding me? Who'd be like, yes?
Hell, I'd love that. Well, drive me around in the back seat with goldfish crackers until I fall asleep.
Now,
yes.
Raiderly and I know what to do. But we were talking at the office, and we're like, resort office, because we wanted to grab the Wi-Fi password and some other things. And we're like, do you happen to know if that's open? And it's like, I'm not, I think so. But do you know what's happening in Duluth tomorrow? Is the last day for the junk hunt in the convention. The deck, the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center. The junk hunt. Yeah. So it's like if you had...
My wife didn't tell me about this.
She didn't tell you about the junk hunt?
No!
Oh,
we're going to have words
listeners,
later.
Listeners, I just destroyed a marriage. No. So it is basically, it's a bunch of different vendors, and... Some of them are selling, like, actual products. There was, of course, well, like no, marketing products,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You got your kettle corn purse, and you got somebody selling mushroom coffee, because of course they are.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, like, people that have specific products. You had a bunch of artisans there, which was lovely. I debated a driftwood decorative mobile thing with some rocks and stuff in between and hanging off of it,
sure,
just to be like, yeah, I've got some North Shore hanging off of my whatever.
Usually when people have North Shore hanging off of their whatever, it's not a thing to be happy about.
No, they look pretty cool, but they were not. I was like, or I could just collect these things myself and make my own for not nearly as much money as you're doing this for. And it's
sure.
It's not that it wasn't worth the amount of money that they were charging for, like, especially for people who don't have those kind of skills or access to the proper tools.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, but I do.
Oh, yeah. No, it was exactly like that honey whiskey. It was just like, this is what this is worth.
Yeah, it was absolutely worth it. I just...
But I'm not, yeah.
Yeah. So there were...
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I texted my wife, accusing her of not telling me about the junk hunt, and her response was, oh, shit. Yeah, I haven't seen you much.
So anyway, well, there's stories for later. But yeah, so they had some marketing product people. They had a bunch of artisans there. One guy had like old milk pails with like designs on them for like, you know, your oofta and your the lake kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For like planters or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so like some upcycled stuff and
sure.
things like that. But the vast majority of it was just junk. Just flea market antique shop.
Goddamn.
Junk. Oh my god, it was so good. And so there was hunting through things. Your in-laws got a couple of LPs. Oh, that was a thing. They brought up, they had gotten a travel record player.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it adorable?
It's so good.
I love that thing.
It's wonderful. It just, like, unfolds, and then suddenly you can play records.
It is the size of, like, an old-school laptop.
It's not even... I want to say it's about as long, but not quite as deep.
Maybe not, yeah.
Because when you undo the lid,
yeah.
Then there's the thing.
It's not very big. It's way smaller than you would think
right.
A record player
They're like,
would
this
be
is a travel record player. And I'm like, are you
and it's
sure?
It's got good sound,
like,
too.
For, like, the kitty kind? It does have good sound.
Yeah.
It was really fucking impressive. But, yeah. So, anyway, they were looking at records. And they found several that they ended up with. Your sister-in-law also left with a bunch of fabric
nice.
And some patterns, I think. Raterly got some patterns.
Yeah, Raterly has messaged me that apparently she has gifts for me. So don't go too in detail what she has.
I don't even know what she got
okay.
for you.
Well, that's fair.
So,
We're going to have talks later.
I've ruined a marriage. You got to hear it first, listeners.
Well, if there's presents, then maybe that'll salvage it.
Probably. Seems likely. But...
I hate shopping. I really, really hate shopping. But somehow antiquing...
It's different.
...is a different thing.
It's a literal hunt. They call it the junk hunt,
yeah,
and it's correct.
And for years, my wife... like, didn't invite me to go antiquing because she didn't think I wanted to.
Because of
how much I hated
just
shopping.
Yeah.
And then she found out that, no. If you're going antiquing, I want to come.
I want in on this.
Oh, yes.
Fuck yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Nope, we went to the Duluth Mecca of junk hunt. Yeah, apparently they do this a couple of times a year.
And the next one
is in, like, November or something.
And I was swallowing steel in front of farmers in Nebraska.
Yeah, wrong spot, buddy.
That's okay. I made good bank.
Yeah. We wandered around for a while. It was really funny. Like, Joe and I started off wandering together. And then, like, maybe three booths in, his ADD brain just, like, started bouncing away.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I have the car keys. He's not leaving without me, so...
No, we are... My wife and I are very similar in that respect, is I will... Like, she will do the more methodical, like really hit everything.
Oh, I watched her do it.
You know? And whereas I am more like Joe, is I will start... Like, I will scan, and I will just like a shark, I will just move and scan and move and scan until something hits me.
Right.
And then I will lock in on that. And then I'll move on and I will move and scan.
Well, and I think I do something in between where I'm scanning, but I'm doing a very slow scan and I'm kind of like making a few mental notes. So like, oh, that might be something I want to check out. If it's something that calls to me right away, I will absolutely go over there. But what I'm doing is I'm making mental note.
Yeah, you're cataloging, yep.
And then I do a very slow first pass through everything.
Okay.
Just taking it all in. And then I go back to my brain. And because I have had a brain injury, there's only so much I can hold. So if something was important enough for me to remember... Then I go back for it.
I feel like Mitch Hedberg had a joke about this.
Go back to look at it.
He doesn't write jokes down that he thinks of in the middle of the night.
Because
if it was good, he'll remember it. And if he forgets it, then he will convince himself that it wasn't good.
Exactly. But this is how I've saved myself much money. Really. There are a few things that I did not leave with that I do still remember. One of them was a brass antique music stand with the scroll work.
Oh.
And the yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, and that one, like, so after I did my first pass and Joe did his bouncing around through everything, we kind of reconnected and did a little bit more wandering together and like pointing at things and discussing like,
sure,
that would be cool in the house, but not $75 cool in the house kind of stuff. Right.
Is this the kind of place where you can negotiate a bit or?
I think it depends on the vendor.
Okay.
I know there was one vendor that was like, bring it, haggle with me.
Awesome. Is also so much fun.
I'm not much of a
haggler. A lot of antique stores, you can do a little bit of that, but they generally, because, you know, they're just like, but yeah, if you find that place where they're willing to play ball, oh, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm not of the haggling variety, but I'm also incredibly particular about what it is that I'm going to walk home with. Because I already have way too much shit I need to get rid of, so I'm like, but we got to do some of that, and like, yeah, we saw the brass antique music stand, and like, I was like, I could read so many awesome stories off of this.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't it be glorious? However, I was not going to pay $150 to do so. No,
definitely. But if you were to show up at a story slam and just foot...
No. I brought my own.
Just drop your music stand dick on the table and be like,
and
all right.
And it would thump, too, because those things are heavy.
Oh, no. They're solid.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, shit. This woman means business.
And then I'd pull out my tablet because that's what I read off of. Extra classy as fuck. Actually, if I was going to have a brass antique thing, I would make a book cover for my tablet.
Yeah, where you so open it up and your tablet's hidden inside. Yeah. That would be good.
That's what I would do.
That would be fantastic. I would if you did that, I would make that book for you. 100%.
I mean, I've thought about making myself one already, but anyway, we got to do some wandering and like house whatevers. And then we got through a bunch of stuff and I was like, all right, Joe, I'm about to go look at sparklies. He's like, have fun. Because I always save sparkly shit for the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I know how much money I haven't spent at that point. I have ideas of where the places are to attach myself to go look at sparklies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I did walk away with a couple of hair clips.
Oh, fun.
Matching hair clips that are like the crystal kind of sparkle. I have them. I'll show you in a bit. Okay. But yeah, it's like crystal, but they're just like two little clippy clips.
Okay.
That go right in. So I was very excited to find matching ones. And I was like, oh, that's lovely. I can do stuff with that.
Yeah.
And then I happened to be looking through a rack of clothes, and there was a sweater. It was the most Jenna sweater. It's kind of long.
Hold on. Let me picture it, okay. And then you describe it, and I'll see how close I am.
You describe what you think it is.
All right. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's going to have pockets. Big fucking pockets.
Did not have
pockets. Oh, I'm already off. Oh, shit. Belted.
Not
belted.
Not belted, but it did have a tailored waist.
I'm batting zero here.
The bodice part came in, the top part came in, and then it did go out at the hip. So had it was a tailored waist.
It's long. It's going to be like mid-thigh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Color, I'm going for dark earth tones, maybe a dark green?
Gray,
okay.
It's a gray.
Close on that one.
Yep, close on that one.
I was thinking belted, big pockets on the front, and it was going to be buttoned down the front with really big, chunky buttons.
See, and that is something that I would wear. You are correct on that. But no,
not this one.
Not this one. This one has no buttons. It does not close.
Oh,
it's an open front.
I really did not do well on that.
But it is a very
apparently I don't
soft,
know you as well as I
it's a very soft yarn.
Yep.
Very lovely, almost like a slate gray.
Okay.
And it's going to be
the thick yarn with like the large size.
It was a needle. A thicker yarn, but like a looser weave.
Yeah, the looser weave is what I mean. That's what I mean with the large needle. It's got the kind of the big, like you can stick your fingers through it.
Kind of, yeah.
That chunky pattern.
Yeah, it wasn't like super thick. It was regular thicker.
All right.
But like, yeah, the weave itself was almost a bit more net.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That part I got right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it did come in at the waist and flare out at the butt, which that's kind of my favorite style of sweater because it drapes in front just right, and then I got the booty sticking out a little bit. Like, look at my butt. That was weird. Don't do that again.
Well, now.
God damn it. But the other thing about this is it has a massive collar.
I would have gone with a big collar.
Yeah. I'm a big collar kind of person. All of my sweaters have big collars. Yep. This thing, like the collar, it's basically longer than my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Way bigger. Way bigger than I was picturing.
So like, and it goes halfway down the back. With this fuck off collar.
No, I know what you're talking about.
But that also means I can lift it up and put it over my head.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
it's not actually a hood. It's just a lot of extra fabric on the collar. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I could absolutely see that on you.
Yeah. Well, you're probably going to in the future at some point. Because I am in love with this fucking thing.
I would have pictured a big collar. Mm-hmm. But that is bigger than I was picturing.
So, yeah, we did that. And various people came away with various things.
Okay.
Joe didn't find anything that he needed. He was just excited to be there. Kind of a thing. Like, he was like, oh, look at that cool stuff. Oh, my God.
And honestly, 90% of the time I'm antiquing, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that much stuff. I just really like looking at all the cool shit.
Right.
It's I think maybe that's why I enjoy it. Because it's not shopping, it's a museum.
Right, yeah. And that's kind of what I thought.
And I love museums.
Yeah. Well, and I think you really hit on it there, is that it is basically a museum, but sometimes you can take things away with you.
home the exhibits.
Yes. But that kind of goes back into each flea market is different to the area.
Yeah.
That it's in, because different areas will have different museums as well.
Absolutely.
It's just what's the different stuff available. So we finished that, and then we went across the street to the Irvin, the boat museum.
Yep.
It is, for listeners who don't know, it is a boat museum that is the boat. The boat is the museum.
Yep.
And you just got to walk through this giant-ass fucking boat.
Yep. It's the William H. Irvin, and it is an old ore ship that used to actually carry ore on the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. and then it was decommissioned, and they put it in the dock and turned it into a fucking museum, and it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Super
great.
You get to go inside and see the big fucking empty bays where the ore would be, and you get to go up into the captain's cabin and mm-hmm. see the steer house and stuff like that. And it's just, it's fucking cool.
It is. It's great. And they have like everything if for the areas that are furnished, because a lot of it just isn't. But they've got, you can see the kitchen.
Yep.
They have a few people along the way
mm-hmm.
that will tell you about that specific area.
Yeah.
The history of it, answer questions, things like that.
Some tragedies.
Yeah.
Things like that. I have heard they have a haunted house on the boat every Halloween, and I have heard it is legitimately terrifying.
I believe that.
And as much as I don't like haunted houses, mm-hmm. that one I'm curious about.
Yeah. Well, and everybody, like, we talked about it afterwards. Everybody was like, we should come back for the haunted thing. And I was like, I'm going to be in the middle of a horror festival. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be able to make that one, guys.
Kind of, like, in a position of importance at that. I kind of can't just walk away from that.
Only president of the board, whatever.
Yeah, I kind of need to be there.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so we went through all of this. And here's the thing. If you recall, the weather that was happening, the 20-mile-an-hour winds,
yes,
were a part of this boat museum, is that you walk across the deck of the boat.
Uh-huh.
Froze my fucking ears off.
Oh, wow.
Did not like that. But the other main thing is that when you're going upstairs and downstairs, everything is very narrow, but especially to get up to the pilot's cabin,
mm-hmm.
Where the steering and everything happens, that the stairs to get up there, I took one look at that and I went, nope, I am not doing that. I might be able to get up there. But there's there's no encasing, there's no nothing, there's like, there are things that they call handrails. And I know that I can put my hands on them, but there is no sense of
Is
of
this the first time you've been on the Irvin?
Oh, it's been years I've been on it.
Okay.
I've got like at least a decade, if not a full score.
Okay.
But yeah, and like I looked at it and like, yeah, you know, like your perspective changes over time.
Absolutely.
But also with that wind,
howling
and the lack of whatever and being up that fucking high already, because it is like you've got three levels before you get to that ladder to get up to. And it was a ladder. Like, I know stairs, but it is a ladder. All right.
Well, and I mean, but
the
ladder
with handrails.
At the same time, that really puts it into perspective what the people who would be working on this ship dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah. I was like, so I did not do
That's
it.
That's a
and
fucking
I was like,
job.
Y'all have fun. I'll
catch you on the other side.
Yeah, I'll catch you in the gift shop.
Because
it's like the last thing before you get into the gift shop area proper, which is also on the boat, which is just delightful.
It is. If you ever get to Duluth, please check out
do it.
Of all of the other cool things to seriously do in Duluth, I mean, do the Glen Sheen and the train museum and all the other stuff, but also do the William H. Irvin. It is really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did the Irvin. Got some stuff. I have presents, but James isn't here tonight, so
anticipation
presents for next week.
Oh my goodness! Building suspense.
So yeah, we ate in Canal Park,
Love.
And then we walked over to Vicray,
mm-hmm.
and there were 20-mile-an-hour winds along Canal Park.
Yeah, I believe it.
My legs were sore after walking against that fucking wind.
So you didn't go spelunking in the rocks?
Oh, no. No, we didn't even hit the walk on that side. We were like, nope. Fuck this shit. We're out. It was awful.
So last year when we went out there, Sko and I went clambering on those rocks and climbing inside. And then later last year, my wife and I took the kids up north, and I took the kids climbing in amongst those rocks.
Oh my god!
Oh, they had such a great time.
Sure, Raterly had a nervous breakdown.
She was not having a great time.
So yeah, no, we didn't hit the rocks. We didn't hit the Maritime or anything like that.
That are really nice now.
But yeah, it was just like, and we went to Vicray and we had a lovely time, and then walked back to the car. Got back to the cabin with a quick stop at a cidery to refill some growlers. And then we just did an evening in with books and a fire and some chat and new records being played on the little travel record player. it was just lovely.
You're really rubbing this in, aren't you?
Oh, as much as I can. And then, yeah, Sunday, we went down to the Fitger building, because there were more growlers to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, it's an entire complex.
No, it's a shopping complex. There's restaurants in there. I love that place.
But honestly, like, we got down there, we got some coffees, we filled some growlers, we looked at a bookstore.
Yeah.
We hung out atop the boardwalk, like, up.
Yeah.
Not on the boardwalk proper, but like looked out over everything from that back kind of deck area. I guess they have like a proper lookout.
Yeah, but like on the Leif Erikson Park side over there?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was all lovely, but like it was still windy and I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
I was fucking tired of fighting nature. It literally took the wind out of me.
Oh, God damn. James would love that one.
No. So, yeah, we just, after that, we just kind of went, you know what? Let's go. So we as a group parted ways. I did take Joe up to Skyline Parkway. The Skyline Overlook Park up along the top of the hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we did that for a couple of hours. We stopped at various points. We started at Twin Ponds and got a nice picture of just overlooking all of Duluth from up there. Stopped at the Traveler's thing. Joe was like, this is really nice. I'm like, well, yeah, if your main industry is tourism, you're going to have a nice tourist info area. It's not all like the cities, buddy.
Have you gotten Joe up to, like, Grand Marais or Grand Portage?
We haven't gotten much farther than, like, two harbors.
Okay.
We did two harbors. I want to say the first or the second time I went up with him. Probably the first. And we really just did two harbors stuff.
So you haven't even gotten up to the lighthouse even?
No, we did do the lighthouse. Okay. That was the one thing, like I said, not much past two harbors, but we did go up to the lighthouse because I was like, Joe needs to see a lighthouse. He had never seen a lighthouse.
Really?
Before I took him to go see Split, I was like, well, we're going to Split Rock first because this is the lighthouse that you are going to first.
I never realized how, like, important Split Rock, like, we knew Split Rock is a big deal around here, but when we were in New Jersey and we saw a lighthouse there and we were chatting with one of the people who work there and we mentioned Split Rock and they were like, oh, Split Rock is so cool. It was just like, holy shit.
Right.
Like, Split Rock is legitimately one of those, like, cool lighthouses. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I mean, just how they got the damn thing built
is
incredible in the first place. But, yeah, so, like, yeah, I did bring him up to Split Rock.
Okay.
Because I was like, you have to see this. And a cute tiny side story off of that is in the main area. Like, the touristy area, you've got your gift shop, and you've got kind of, there's like a little museum informational thing. It's more informational, but there's like some kid things, so you can learn about like water flow and how light does refracting
the visitor center before you actually get,
We go in there, and there's a Lego model of Split Rock Lighthouse.
Yep.
And Joe goes, hold up. And he walks over and he looks at the little plaque and he goes, that is my buddy. He has a friend. He has a friend who is
a Lego artist.
He is apparently the Lego artist. He is one of the biggest names in Lego artistry. He's done stuff for like Lego World. He does. He loves doing museums and especially Minnesota stuff. Because this guy is also a professor.
How do you get that job?
I don't know. I mean, talk to Joe, see if he can hook you up with his buddy. Because, he's like a professor of, like, I don't know, ethics or something? I have no idea what this guy does professor-wise, what he teaches.
And then he just makes national landmarks out of Legos. And I am so angry. I am angry. Every time I find out that National Landmark Lego artist or history television show presenter is a career.
You're just like, what the fuck have I been doing?
I am angry that my high school guidance counselor didn't tell me that that's what I could have done with my life. I could have been doing that, and you didn't mention this? Motherfucker. No, you should be a firefighter. You should be a spaceman. You should do technology. I want to be a BBC history program presenter. That's what I want to do with my life. Why didn't you tell me that that's what I could have done with my life? Could have made Legos for Split Rock.
Well, maybe if you're really lucky, you can meet the guy someday and get some tips.
I would legitimately enjoy that.
I have actually met this person once. We ran into him at Merlin's, but I didn't know who the fuck he was. And Joe was like, oh my God, buddy. And like, they chatted for a while. And Joe was like, yeah, he does like Lego stuff.
Can we get him on the podcast?
Maybe.
We'll talk later.
Also, it kind of seems like maybe you need some time to process this. Do we maybe need to take a break, Salsa?
I mean, I'm not going to say we don't need to take a break.
Do you have more ranting that needs to be done? Maybe off air?
Look, my high school guidance counselor didn't tell me that those were options.
You've said this. You've said this.
Let's take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Are you kidding me?
No, we're back.
No, you're Salsa?
Yes.
And I'm Jenna. Okay.
I legitimately had to stop and think about it for a second. I was like, am I not?
Are you not?
It was Cut Spike Distillery.
Okay. All right.
Lucky Bucket Brewing and Cut Spike Distillery.
So, did your marriage end during the break?
No, I got my present.
Yeah? You want to talk about it?
It was a booklet / program from like a 1936 Ringling Brothers.
Oh.
It was pretty cool.
All right. So all is forgiven?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All is well.
All right.
But it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... You know him. You pretend to love him. James!
Yeah. God, I kind of want to take back that drum roll. Wait a minute. I have a button for that.
Okay. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Oh, let's try again. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... James!
Yay.
We have hit that wall.
I can't do the podcast.
I know.
Fuck with him.
Opening anyway. Thoughts here are, he said, respected co-hosts, I believe this Fast Five will be all the James needed for an episode.
Oh, fuck.
We have already hit all of the James we needed for an episode. And it was none. Just want to make that completely clear. Mm-hmm, we were a podcast before you. We could be again.
You could be replaced or not.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Since we've got this.
Suppose.
Question number one. Red or black? Red spelled R-E-D.
Okay. All right. Like, my first thought is checkerboard.
Checkerboard or cards? Playing cards?
Playing cards, yeah. Is there anything else that doesn't specifically come in red or black, but, like... Like, I'm trying to think like James, which is already throwing me. But, like, maybe it's the number of letters in the words, and so, like,
Here's the thing, though. This is the madness that he wants us to fall into.
Okay.
He wants us to go crazy trying to figure out what madness his brain came up with, and we won't be able to.
Gotten close sometimes, which I'm not bragging about that. I want to be clear. That's not even a humble brag.
You go to groups for that conversation. I think the biggest fuck you that we can give to James is just by playing it straight.
No. Or at least bisexually.
Fair.
Let's see. Black or red? Fuck.
Black or red? Black or red.
Yeah. Okay, so playing cards. I would rather play spades than hearts.
Ooh. That is good. I, on the other hand, prefer hearts.
Do you really?
I do.
That seems weird, but okay. Why do you prefer hearts?
I just enjoy the game more.
Okay.
I've played it more.
Like, they're okay. And that might be a big thing for me, too.
I think it is probably just a familiarity thing, because we had a Hoyle program on our computer, one of the fucking Apple Mac 2E back in the fucking mid-80s.
But the colors on that were black and green.
Fair enough.
Suppose you wouldn't know the difference. So.
But it was one of those Hoyle card game things.
Okay.
And it was a Sierra game. And okay. So, like, you know, all of the old Sierra adventure games, like King's Quest and Space Quest and all of those. So, like... The characters that you played against, the computer characters, were characters from those video games.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
You could play a game of cribbage versus, like, King Graham from King's Quest 1.
Okay.
Like, it was fun. It was a fun little tie-in.
That is very delightful, especially for its time.
Yeah, definitely. And it was very, like... You know, 8-bit graphics and stuff like that. But that is where I learned how to play a lot of the games that I know how to play now. Like Hearts, like Cribbage, you know.
All right.
That is how I learned how to play Solitaire. But they didn't have a Spades, they had a Hearts. And so that's where I learned how to play Hearts. And so it was a game that I know more.
Whereas when I was growing up, my little friend group, there were 4 of us, and we would play Spades all the time is just kind of a pastime situation. I got, there were certain people I got really good at being like, I think I have this many tricks. And they'd be like, well, I think I can take this many. And so we'd figure out, like, you know, like...
Yeah, you get that familiarity, that chemistry.
And you're like, okay, you can just tell, even just by saying those words, like, okay, so that's a solid three tricks they're taking.
Sure.
And so now it's up to me. But, yeah, so being able to do that kind of thing with the team sport of spades, like, that was... That's probably where my love of spades comes from, is just that childhood nostalgia thing. Fair. So, sure. Yeah,
so, very similar places that we're coming from on that one, yeah. I think.
So, all right. I almost said I'm black, and that's not accurate. I'm going with black.
I mean, we could definitely have a racist, like, you know, Native American or
no, let's
but
not.
Somehow I feel like James would not have done that.
No, that's not his style.
No. Question number two. Open or closed?
Well, fuck, that could be anything. When I go to bed at night, I prefer to have my bedroom door closed.
Oh, interesting. We have cats, so we leave all the doors open.
Okay.
Because otherwise they're going to let us know about it. I was going to say I prefer to keep the windows closed and the AC on versus open windows.
Partially
because of allergies.
Right.
But also just because...
I tend towards open windows, mostly because... I don't like the background noise. I don't need it to be super cold overall. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm turning on the AC, it's because it's 90 degrees out and there is no other way to live.
Sure.
There's no way to survive that. So I'm much more of a windows open person, and especially with my house because it's north facing. The downstairs really does not get cold or get warm very quickly, because I don't have a lot of south windows on that first floor. There's one in the bathroom and one in the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't get a lot of heat on that first floor.
Sure.
So it's easier for me to do that, but...
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, so apparently this is, before Joe and I left for the trip... I closed all of the doors to all of the rooms. And Joe's like, why do you do that? And I was like, well, I remember learning in elementary school that you should close the doors before you go to bed, before you leave the house, whatever, in case there's a fire. Because the closed doors will help slow down the spread. I remember learning that at an early age in school.
I'd never heard that, but it makes perfect
sense. Right along with stop, drop, and roll. Like, it was one of those things, and that one stuck in my brain, so...
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
So I hope your cats never light on fire.
Cats will start the fucking fire.
Yeah, they will. Oh, hi.
Yeah, no, our doors hardly ever close.
Yeah.
Even bathroom doors... it's just us. It's just family. Opening doors is hard. We just leave them open.
Okay.
All of virtually every door, except like closet doors, where we're actually actively trying to make something not visible.
Right.
Like those get closed, but otherwise, yeah, bedroom doors, bathroom doors, they just are open 99% of the time.
Pretty sure your cat heard you talking. And
yeah,
was like, no, I have things to say about
this. She's being mouthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, when I read this, the first thing that went through my head was, windows or relationships?
I mean, that does seem like a thing.
A very James thing.
James. And it's probably going to be something like, the opinion of blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah. In this particular instance,
I like
whatever.
Do you keep the doors in your house open or closed? I like that one.
All right. Well, I'm going closed.
Okay. Question number three. All or some?
Oh, my God.
I'm a greedy bastard, so all.
I don't... I'm having problems thinking of any specific context for this. I mean, I don't generally half-ass things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I have a list of tasks, I do them all.
You're gonna, yeah.
I don't... God, this is such a situational thing, but...
this one could go anywhere.
I think, just on a gut level, I'm much more likely to be an all person than a some person.
Okay. I think we have an accord on that one.
All right.
Question number 4. Medusa or Cyclops?
Medusa. Fucking love the Medusa myth. And I'm, honestly, what I really like is retellings of Medusa in such a way where it's like Medusa was basically given the gift of being able to turn men to stone.
Because shit happened.
Yeah, because shit happened. And so, like, this was a way of just protecting her. Kind of, even though it was a punishment.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's gross.
But I like the retellings of it where it's like, no. This wasn't a curse. This was a blessing in disguise.
I really appreciate how that has become more common knowledge in the past few years.
Sure.
Like, 10 years ago, if you had said, by the way, this is the reason Medusa has the snake hair, and this is what happened to her. People would have been like, what are you talking about? But now that seems to be fairly common knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, that has become just a culturally aware thing.
No, and I
really appreciate that.
Well, and I think part of it is because of a lot of the retelling and stuff.
Sure,
it's a way to regain power or even have a different perspective on it. So, no.
So, the Cyclops was... a titan. I mean, there's the whole Odysseus storyline and stuff like that. But I agree. I think Medusa's story is just more interesting.
I also agree with that. Retelling or no.
And whether you view her as a victim or a villain, either way, it's a more interesting
story. It is a more interesting story. It's a fuller story,
yeah,
for sure.
So I'm going Medusa.
I'm also going Medusa.
I have socks with Medusa on them.
Oh.
I do not have socks with Cyclops on them.
Do they turn your feet to stone?
No. But they're like, they've got like green scales on them, and then they have the Medusa head on the side.
That's pretty nice.
They're pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Question number 5.
5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
East or west?
I still like Eastern Dragons.
Ooh.
Every time East or West comes up, I'm just reminded of Dragons, because it's happened a few times.
Absolutely. And you're wrong. Western Dragons are way better. But, no.
Okay.
Not dragons are snakes with legs.
And tentacly whisker things. Don't ignore those. Those are cool as fuck.
I mean, I would if I could, but...
You can see better in the dark. Get your bearings.
East or west? I mean, East Coast swing, West Coast swing.
Ninja versus cowboy... Like martial arts versus a Western.
I have already done a significant amount of traveling in the Western world.
Okay.
I.e. North America, Europe. I have not done any traveling in the Eastern world.
Okay.
And I would love to. So I would love to do that.
Okay. I really haven't traveled much to anywhere, so if we're talking about travel, I'll just, whatever.
Take a direction and go.
Yeah. Although, of the places I haven't been, I do have a desperate desire to see Ireland at some point. So
Ireland is dope.
Yeah, I've heard from you repeatedly.
It was pretty great. have you heard of these like mystery travel agencies? Like where they basically like send you a questionnaire and find out like what you're into, and then you basically pay X amount and they do all of the travel plans for somewhere.
This sounds like the best fucking thing ever.
It is.
Cause I don't want to plan shit.
And you're not going to go to Europe. You're not going to go to South America. You're not going to go to Japan or anything like that. It's going to be in the United States.
Okay.
But it's just basically like, what are you into? Are you looking for a food scene? Are you looking for an art scene? Are you looking, you know, what
history.
Is your
history?
Exactly. Kind of what's your thing? And then you're just like, here's a bunch of money. And then they buy you plane tickets and you get on the plane and find out where you're going for a couple days.
Oh,
and it's like
God.
A weekend trip in in Indiana or a weekend trip in Denver. And
holy
it's just
shit.
Like you don't know where you're going until you go.
Mm.
And I think that sounds like a shit ton of fun.
That does sound fun.
To just be like, hey, Raiderly, we're going to send the kids off with your mother and we're going to pack our bags and we're going to go somewhere.
Yeah, but how do you pack for that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know all of the details. I don't know how they deal with things like that. But it's just like that sounds like a lot of fun to just
be
like,
sound like a lot
let's
of fun.
Find out. Let's go places that we wouldn't normally go.
No, like
for
there's
3 days.
Well, one of the things about going up north is I know enough about the area and stuff where I don't have to plan things.
Mm-hmm.
We can just kind of wing it when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I help set up cabin, whatever. But, like, past that, fucking whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we'll see which way the wind takes us.
Yeah.
In last weekend's case, literally. and it did have an effect on our plans. But, like, I don't... I've talked about this before, where, like, when I'm doing gaming... when I'm gaming with my family specifically, I don't want to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
My entire profession, what I am certified in, what I do, even in my spare time, is a lot of fucking planning. All of my hobbies are planning related. Like, I plan everything. So when I'm taking time off, I don't want to plan anything. We do family game night and they decide what we're doing and where we're going, and I'm just along for the ride.
A
vacation where I can just hand somebody a chunk of change and they do all of the planning sounds incredible.
And
to
then
me.
You just show up in the city and you're just like, what's to do around here? I don't know. Let's Google it and find out. Oh, look, there's a museum 2 miles from us. Let's go.
Right.
We have nowhere to be.
Right.
So we can be anywhere.
Yeah. My only problem with this is that I don't really like flying on planes. It fucks with my equilibrium and it hurts. Like, physically hurts me.
I mean, it's entirely possible you could drive, but I'm just like that sort of idea. I just that appeals to me so much. Is to just I've always loved even when I've traveled, you know, internationally, I've always, the moments that I have loved the most are those moments that weren't the planned. Like,
right.
It's just like, you're driving through a little town and you see a sign that says this thing is going on over here. And you're like, what the fuck is that? I have to find out what this is.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you're hanging out with some locals doing some stupid little festival that they do every year that means something to people 200 years ago. It has no bearing on anybody now, but they still do it. And it's ridiculous. And you're just like, I'm having the best time of my life right now.
Right?
Because I didn't plan this. I love that shit.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so East or West?
I guess I'm going to go west.
All right.
Go west, young man.
All right. Let us find out what James has cooked up for us. Question number one. Oh, didn't see this one coming. Red or black?
I'm surprised.
Do you prefer your cherry flavors to be classic red Or black cherry.
I lean slightly more towards black cherry. I'm fine with either. I like cherry in general, and it kind of depends on what they're being paired with. But, like, the thing that pops into my mind is the cherry cordials, the little cherry.
Yeah, those are good.
And the black cherry, it's just, it's so much richer with that chocolate. It just
I feel
so
like if you blindfolded me and held a gun to my head and put it, something in my mouth, I would not be able to tell you if it was cherry or black cherry.
Huh. All right. Also, why would I do that? That's weird.
There was an if at the beginning of that, Jenna.
Yeah, why though? Like,
look, no. if that also includes the possibility of not.
But why would the possibility exist? I don't.
Because Jenna, the world is chaos, and anything could happen.
All right.
I'm not going to say that it won't happen. I leave myself open to the possibility.
One of these days, I am going to put a gun to your head and blindfold you and have a taste.
You're
going to
blindfold me and stick a fucking Nerf gun to my head and be like, eat this! And be like, I don't know, is it red? It's a black cherry! Ah!
Then I'll hit you with a Nerf dart, and it'll be hilarious for me.
And then I'll take off the blindfold, and you've been filming it for YouTube. Huh.
Oh, my God, I'm going to get so many views.
Shit. Why did I just say that? Question number two. Open or closed? If working in a shed, garage, or other outbuilding, do you prefer the doors to be open or closed? I mean,
generally open.
What am I working on? And
right?
What's the temperature? There are way too many variables
here. There are a lot of variables in this. Assuming all things being equal, doors open to let out any kind of fumes, dust, get a nice breeze going.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Like, just assuming temperature isn't a factor.
Yeah, I feel like just running through all the possible scenarios, a larger proportion are going to be open.
Yeah. That's fair.
For the reasons you said. Like, if I am working in the garage or shed or outbuilding, more than likely it's going to be during warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll probably have the door open.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Question number three. All or some. In a video game where you have the option to take all of the given resources, like birds, egg, fish, wood from trees, etc., do you take all of what you find in an area, or do you leave some behind?
No, I take everything.
I strip the area bare. I am that person who, at the end of the game, has 999 of everything because I never use any of it.
Yep. Yeah, I am also a, like, when my family and I were playing Valheim, I'm like, I'll be right there. I just need to pick these berries.
Yep.
Like, yeah, no, I definitely am like, ooh, resource, and then I take it.
I am the one when playing Diablo that will pick up all the stuff from the enemies I killed, go to town to sell it, and then go back and pick up the stuff I couldn't pick up before, and then go to town and sell it. Like, yeah. I'm not going to leave anything behind.
Nope. I am of the same, similar ilk.
Yep. All right. So. That one is pretty easy.
All right.
Oh, question for Medusa or Cyclops. I'm really curious where this is going. Oh!
Oh, God.
This is good. This is very good. All right.
Okay.
If you were making a new combat sports team, which do you think would make a better mascot?
I feel like, hear me out on this, I feel like if you went Cyclops, you run the risk of having your mascot, like in the full costume, look like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
I feel like you run that risk. I also feel like that would be a more common one. And I think Medusa, I think because so many more people know the story, I don't know how you would do the snake hair with Medusa on a mascot costume, But it would definitely be distinctive. I don't think there's any risk of replicating something that pre-exists.
And I mean, just I think outside the actual physical, like, person in a suit mascot, I think just, like, the logo with the Medusa, like, you could do some really cool... Oh, man, like...
If it's a women's sports team, absolutely Medusa. Like, there's no question there. That is absolutely...
But I'm just, like, have you seen... I don't know if you've seen the Seattle Kraken hockey team, their logo.
I don't think I have seen the logo.
Okay, it's an S, but it's like a stylized S. And at the top, where the S comes curving around, there's like a red eye right there.
Okay.
And so, like... And like it kind of tentacles out the bottom curve of the S.
Sure.
And it's an S for Seattle, but it also has that kind of like hint of a Kraken in there. And absolutely. I think a logo for the Medusas with the snakes in the hair could make some really cool shapes.
Absolutely.
Like that would hint at whatever sport it was or the town that they're in or something like that where you could do some really cool logo things with that.
I mean, I do like the alliteration of the Minnesota Medusas.
Oh, the Minnesota Medusas would be so good.
Yeah. Ah.
Minnesota Medusas. Minneapolis Medusas. The Montreal Medusas would be good too.
Yeah.
I would have to say Medusas.
I'm going with Medusas.
Yeah.
All right.
East or west? God, I really want to see that now.
I know, right?
East or west? If you had to start over with a new identity and move to one of the nation's coasts,
okay,
which coast would you choose for your new life?
I've never been to either coast, really. I was in D.C. once, but, like, it was a couple of days.
Mm.
I don't know. I hear Seattle's nice. I don't care. I guess I just don't know enough.
I'm going to go east.
You're going to go east?
I'm absolutely going to go east. Seattle is nice, don't get me wrong, but East has Boston, Philadelphia.
I mean, I have heard DC. Lovely things about Boston, and I'm like, wouldn't mind going to Boston.
The main lobster, and like I would spend so much time in like the boundary islands of North Carolina, and. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York.
Although, kind of if that I have whole to assume a there. New identity, I know people in so many of the places we just talked about.
I would end up in Boston right quick.
Yeah, I know people in Boston, though. Although, like, the Carolinas.
Although the question is would they help you with that new identity and get you settled in? Or would you be hiding from them as well?
Oh, shit. No, if that's the case, I'm definitely going with Boston. Because, like, if I've got friends to help me settle in, my Boston friends are all the type of people that would be like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got your back on
me
this.
Me as well. Yeah. I think we've got many of the same friends there.
Some of the same friends, sure.
But, yeah, no, I would go east. I would definitely say east.
All right. Yeah, I'm not entirely certain, but given everything we've talked about, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about this on air, however, if either of us needs to assume an identity, we're going to have to change the
If
answer.
I legitimately needed to disappear, I would get out of the country, but...
Right, yeah, I'm like, Canada? But...
I mean, I speak a couple languages. I could go somewhere else.
Sean Petre. We are coming for you.
closing thoughts. I know... Okay, this is a typo, I'm sure, but I'm angry at him because of it. I know you probably expected this No, it isn't a typo. I thought it was going somewhere else with the sentence.
Oh,
it wasn't
okay.
A typo. Never mind. I know you... I read the first three and then went, no, this is wrong. I know you probably expected this episode to be a shorter one, since I'm not there to fill hours with niche references, running jokes that have holes in their shoes. I'm honestly curious to see if this ends up being closer to 1 hour or two. Oh, honey,
oh,
you didn't need to wonder. It's going to be closer to two, obviously.
Yeah, like, that's you're not adorable. The only one that can talk forever.
No, it's just we actually get the chance
really good
to.
At it too. All right. I like how I went for the attack on you, yeah. And you went for the attack on James.
It's easier. No, I thought this sentence was, I know you're probably expecting... And that's where I thought it was going.
Oh.
And then it went, I know you probably expected. And that's...
Right. Nope.
So I was wrong. I knighted myself. I will own it. You know what? I'm a big enough person. I'll own that.
Okay.
I'll own my mistakes.
All right. I want this to be a clip at the end.
I will own my mistakes. Because gosh darn it, people like me.
Yeah, okay. I'm done.
If you would like to send in those Fast Fives, please go to aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. We need more, so do that.
He used the form.
They better use the form, or we're going to have to do it. Do you have any shout-out?
I would like to give two shout-outs. Number one, shout-out to Bruce and Strike Theater for the grief show. It's a heavy show to do, but it is always very cathartic, and it is such a lovely group of people that do it. Second shout-out to my boyfriend, your wife, your brother and sister-in-law, to my cabin buddies. Just for such a lovely, wonderful time. Fighting the wind up north. It's always nice to be able to spend time in a cabin with people you don't feel like you need to impress or like pick up the slack for, or and where you can just exist with people of similar ilk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so lovely. It's absolutely lovely. So. Yeah.
Awesome. I am giving my shout out to the people that run the Renaissance Festival of Nebraska. I have said it before and I will say it again. I legitimately enjoy doing that festival. The people that run it are super nice and have always been very supportive of me and whatever it is that comes up that I need, you know, a hand with, or even the year that I was like, look, COVID is still a thing and I'm not ready yet. They were just like, cool. Next year, if you're ready, come back. If you're not, we're cool with that too. So, the people that run that are fantastic. So thank you so very much for doing what you do. Do you have anything to plug?
I do. Friends and followers, frenemies, this is the last weekend to catch the tourist trap. It is at the Crane Theater. If you decide to go, there is construction all over, so give yourself time accordingly. I believe this Friday and Saturday, doors are at 7, show at 7:30. Show up a little bit earlier because the entrance is actually through the stage. So you get to wander the stage a little bit and look at some of the stuff. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
That's unorthodox.
Well, and it definitely makes sense according to the story. It's not something you need to do.
Absolutely.
Like, nothing that happens in the story isn't explained within the story.
Sure.
But it does add a little bit more flavor to what's going on.
That intrigues me very much.
Yeah. Like I said, Friday and Saturday... are the last 2 days you can catch that, so you fucking should.
Do it.
The end.
I'm going to plug the Janesville Renaissance Festival coming up this coming weekend. Yes, I know I just got done with one, but I'm doing another. In Janesville, Wisconsin, Casimir will be doing what he does. Come on out. cheer, yell, scream, and give me money. In that order.
Okay.
Any final thoughts?
Love you, love. I don't know who that's for, but...
That case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five.
Yay.
On behalf of myself and Jenna and James as well. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.